Decibel Geek Podcast with Chris Sinzak and Aaron Camaro.
Oh, God, what week is it? Is it time again? Yes. It is time.
Finally.
It's finally time. Time for the Decibel Geek Podcast. I can't believe I'm even here, but here we are. It's time to have some fun and rock and roll with your boys. I'm Aaron. That's Chris. You know us. We're here almost every week when we're not sick. I think all that typo negative last week put me in a tomb for most of this week, but I drug myself out of it. Chris is here. We've got an awesome guest today. We're going to have an awesome subject. We're talking about one of our favorite bands, Anthrax. We're talking with one of our favorite people, Sean Franklin, and we're going to get to all that in just a minute. But before we do, you know how we got to do it. We got to take care of our business. So we look to our iTunes reviews, we look to our Facebook recommendations, and we got some good stuff going on here. Let's look at Facebook first. Are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
You seem healthy.
Yeah, I'm doing better than I was.
Yeah? All right, good.
That time of year.
All right, so here we go. This one is on iTunes, and it is 1 star. Ah, come on, not this again. Goes like this. This show is terrible. I try to use it as background noise while cleaning Mr. Ramsey's apartment, but it's just too distracting. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go make hot dogs for Bobby's dinner. Lois, the robot maid from the movie Runaway.
Wow.
We just can't win with the damn bots.
Can't even get Lois, the robot from Runaway, to like us.
Golly. All right, let's move on from that. Here's a Facebook recommendation. Comes to us from Mike Hogbin. Hey, that sounds like a real person. I think I'm going to like this one already. Goes like this. Chris and Aaron are the best. Fun to listen to, and they even seem to know what they talk about.
We fooled them.
Sometimes it works. Great guests with in-depth interviews. Keep it up. Thank you, Mike. That's an awesome Facebook recommendation.
Awesome.
I love that. So from the people.
Yeah. And speaking of people, our other favorite people, Geeks of the Week, these are people from that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter our typo negative discussion last week.
It was spooky.
A lot of good feedback. People liked it.
Yeah, people love typo negative.
Geeks of the Week this week are Adam Cox, Darren Lanou, Freeform Rock Podcast, Mark Alden Taylor, Tony Bakken, Andy Connors, Baco, Cobras and Fire, Kevin Williams, Dave Shirt, Mike Tyler, Nate Atchison, James West, Ian Wadley from Rock and Metal Combat, Samuel Wetz, Aaron Baker, Eric Sartana Horner, Kenneth McDonald, Greg Troyan, Eric Sinzak, Greg Spicoli and Renaud, Jody Marie, Jeffrey Mendenhall, Gene Vogel, Kenneth Roy, Rodney Dixon, Mike Parnell, Joseph Capone, Greg York, David Glenn, Brant Cattell, Bill Elam, Shane Hebert, Todd Cunningham, Mikhail Burrell, Ray Kuhn, Joey Vancieri, David Cathy, Ernesto Aguiar, and of course,
The Mooger Fooger. Yes, Andy Connors did an awesome job with us last week, traveling the whole career, the retrospective of Typo Negative. One of our favorite bands. I'm hoping we turned on some new people to that band. Perfect way to celebrate Halloween.
Yeah.
And this week we're back from the dead. Almost literally, it feels like. But today, we got something special going on. We're talking about Anthrax.
Yeah, we're going to get thrashy. We're going to have a discussion about the Anthrax album, State of Euphoria, which just got the 30th anniversary version was just released.
And you believe that?
We have a guy from the inside who you heard him on the Spreading the Disease episode,
yeah.
So now you're going to hear him on this one. Sean Franklin, welcome back to the show.
Why, hello there, gentlemen.
For people that may have missed the Spreading the Disease episode, explain your involvement in this album and how it came together.
It all goes back to 2014. I had the idea to go to Chuck D, who I worked for, and say, listen, can you do something for my resume? Like, actually write up something for my resume? And he's like, well, I could, but what, you know, why don't you actually come to work for me full-time doing this stuff? I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, let's do that. And then reach out to Charlie because I did a master of Spread the Disease where I thought I sounded really, really good. And I wanted to try to get him as a client, too. So I reached out to him, and he was receptive. And he's like, oh, you know, send it along, and that'd be awesome, and, you know, whatever. And he loved what I did. And then all of a sudden, it's like one thing leads to another. And then he sends me a box of tapes because I work for Chuck. Again, Chuck D is the kingpin of this whole story because he's worked with Chuck, and he respects him and everything. And he was, like, almost my cosign.
Nice.
And I actually did the freaking Spread the Disease for Universal for re-release. And then the next thing was for Studio Euphoria. And with the box of tapes I was actually sent, I couldn't even believe the amount of material. There was so much stuff in there. outtakes, demos, all kinds of stuff. So it was pretty amazing to actually go through that stuff.
Yeah, and this release is it's a really impressive release because you're not only getting a remastered version of the album, which sounds freaking huge, but you're also getting disc two has basically the evolution of each song. It's like you get the earliest demo, and then it's like even got progress throughout. Like every song is like I don't know what you call it, like a montage basically of how it started and to how it ended. And that was what I liked the most about this is because, you know, if you're into songwriting or you're wanting to know how a song developed, you get like that on almost every one of the songs on the second disc, which is really impressive because you'll hear them doing takes, you'll hear them in practice with it. They're talking back and forth to each other. So it's really fascinating to hear the evolution of each song. And I'm having a feeling that you were a big part of putting those things together.
That was like the most exciting part of, I swear to God, the whole thing. That was like the most exciting part because with going through all these tapes, and like I said, Charlie sent me like boxes and boxes and boxes of tapes. This is going to be an ongoing series. Going through stuff, I'm like, I would see like, I don't know, tapes labeled like Charlie's Euphoria or something like that. And I'm like, I don't even know what's on these tapes. So you start like combing through stuff and you find stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's really, really cool. Or Charlie's Riffs, 1988 or 89. Mm. And it's like, okay, well, it's on here. So, and one 90-minute cassette, there might be one of the riffs for, like, say, Finally or something like that could be on that cassette. So, you know, we extracted that stuff and put it on the release. But it was just so wild and so awesome to be able to, like, go through all this stuff again. And even more so than Spread the Disease, because Spread the Disease had a bunch of stuff from, like, Sun Plaza in Japan, Joey's Medusa demo, basically the whole album tracked, like, instrumental. But to me, State of Euphoria was, like, so much more exciting because you're really seeing, like you said, the evolution of start to finish. So we started making these composites, almost like the Beatles anthology, where it's like, you know, say Charlie humming into a boombox for Be All End All, into like him sitting on a couch with a riff, then them in the rehearsal studio, to them tracking or whatever. It's just like, to me, the City of Euphoria release, it's my greatest thing I've been involved with.
Yeah, man, that sounds so cool. I can't imagine having one of my favorite bands just bring me over boxes and boxes of tapes and be like, yeah, go through this stuff, see what you can find. I mean, that's got to be an amazing feeling, like, to be going through it and then be like, whoa, what is this, you know?
Absolutely, it's awesome. It's so it is so cool. And it's so funny because actually today I just received my CD copy and vinyl copy of the release. And, you know, one of those things where it's like, you know, seeing your name, like, executive producer is Charlie Benante, but then it says, you know, compiled and edited by Sean Franklin right underneath his credits. I'm like, wow, that is cool.
Yeah, it is. That's so cool.
Well, can you describe a little bit about the packaging for the package and so people kind of get an idea of what they're going to get?
All right. So as far as the CD version of it, that's where you're going to have, like, you have the album remastered, all corresponding B-sides pertaining to release, all on disc one, and then disc two is going to be, like, the Charlie's Archive, and that's going to be, like, all the, you know, like, demos to whatever formation.
But, yeah, it comes with, like, a 20-page book, and I think the vinyl has, like, a red one and a yellow one. I watched an unboxing video today from somebody on YouTube. And,
actually, I saw that, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it looks like a hell of a pack. Like, if you're an Anthrax fan, you're going to want this in your collection. Because it's really – and I love that they're doing this, but it's amazing how much Charlie has saved through his career. Because a lot of artists tend to dispose of a lot of this stuff, or they'll tape over tapes, even especially back in the 80s, because a lot of times they're thinking they're never going to use these things again, so they'll just tape over stuff. But it sounds like he was very meticulous in keeping all of this stuff.
Oh, absolutely, because, like I said, the amount that I've received, it's just like all kinds of things. Like, I mean, you can even go to, like, I think they do Milk for the Attack of the Killer Bees release, there's like a version of like milk with like bee sounds, and a lot of things are all actually labeled as like Charlie's tape, Chuck's tape, Charlie's tape, Chuck's tape. So he was, you could definitely see he was very like, you know, instrumental in like archiving this stuff and just keeping copies of all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure glad he did.
That's... Oh yeah, it's awesome.
So let's do a little bit of history on the album. This was their fourth studio album. It was released on September 19th in 1988, 30 years ago. Hard to believe.
I know it.
On
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Megaforce Island Records was produced by Anthrax with Mark Dodson and Alex Pirellis Engineering. Reached number 30 on the Billboard 200 in late 88, was certified gold in February of 89.
That's awesome.
I remember when this came out, I remember getting it when it came out, but it was interesting times because, you know, hair metal was huge at this time. So Anthrax, and I remember Anthrax got a lot of media attention around this point. Like the media was actually really behind them at this time. And I'm guessing because I'm the Man was popular already.
Yeah.
And, so this actually got a lot of press, and I remember the video for Antisocial got played quite a bit on MTV. And also Who Cares Wins was released as a single. The majority of the album's music was composed by Charlie, and a lot of the lyrics were composed by Scott. The band, I mean, I have to bring this up because the band over the years has not really spoken super fondly about this album. So basically saying it was a rush job, and even Charlie going as far in an interview at one point saying, I hope we never have to play this album in full because I would hate it. And it's like, so honestly, when I heard that this was coming out, I was a little surprised because I always got the impression that the band really wasn't thrilled with how this album turned out. But did Charlie have any talks with you about, like, maybe in hindsight that he likes it more now?
Well, it's so funny because, all right, if you want to rewind back to Statements of Euphoria, which is the promo album around the time of the album, which is the interviews, and those interviews are actually part of the disc two.
Right.
To me, like, it's just so funny because, like, the band is, like, totally into the album. So it's not like, oh, man, you know, I really wish that, you know, we had more time or whatever. I mean, like, everyone is totally into it. I do know that, like, even when we started discussing, like, making this and doing all this stuff, it's like almost like Charlie went back and almost like rediscovered the parts that they did like of the album. And again, just from my conversations, I just feel that it seems like Charlie liked, like, I don't know, say like 75%, 80% of it, but the rest of it was like they didn't quite finish it because they were rushed because they were going to do the Monsters of Rock stuff. I think they were doing Donington.
Yes.
Yeah, so they kind of had to wrap up stuff and get on the road. I will say, though, for me personally, I think the album's awesome. I got it the day it came out, you know, as a fan, like, I think it was, like, in 10th grade or something like that, but it's, like, I think Joey's vocals in, like, Who Cares Wins are so awesome, but I have to agree that from going from Among the Living to State, there's a few things, it's like, I think they could have taken a little more time on, but it's still a great album.
Yeah.
For me, I would really associate this one with being like my first Anthrax album. Like we always say, it's the first one that came out when we were old enough to appreciate it and maybe even have the money to go buy it. So this was one I was always excited about. And I think looking back, there's like five of the greatest Anthrax songs ever on this album. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it's just all kind of okay. But those five songs are just killer, you know, some of the best stuff they ever did.
Kind of how I feel with like Be All End All,
yeah.
And I don't know, like, all right, Be All End All, Who Cares Wins, like, even if you wanted to, like, take those two songs, I love those two songs so much. Like I said, I got the album when it came out, but it's like even hearing the cello of, like, you know, Be All End All, it was like hearing that for the first time, I was like, wow, this is really cool. And then when it kicks in, it's so heavy.
always liked that song. I never understood why they call track 10 Finally when it's spelled finale.
Yeah. I remember being confused by that when I was
young. I hear your mama calling you.
That's such a great song.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mine too.
Songs. I guess I think the one thing I've noticed, and it's the guitars are brought up more on the remaster, it seems like, because in the original version, which it's always surprised me that Charlie would talk down about it, because honestly, Charlie seems louder than everything else on this album.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The original version of that album,
yes.
The drums are screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like Steve Harris with Iron Maiden, like where the bass is like way out front. It's all drum.
Oh, totally.
But the new version of this, like the guitars are definitely beefed up more, so it's got a bit of more of a full sound to it.
Right on.
And yeah, I definitely got into it more listening to the new version of it. But
here's the other thing about Anthrax too at this time. Was how, like, you talked about how, like, hair metal and those kind of bands were the hugest thing in the world in 88. But, you know, Anthrax was like the rock fans were divided. You had your Poison, Warrant, Motley Crue fans, and then you had your Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth fans, Slayer, you know, and guys like that. But Anthrax was one of those bands that was like, they crossed parties almost.
Yes, they did.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, the guys like me that love Motley Crue and Kiss and stuff like that, we're also like really into Anthrax, but I think that was because of I Am the Man, you know, that was such a crazy thing. Like we're all little kids listening to that going, hee, we're getting away with something, you know, we're being naughty by listening to this,
right.
That, you know, it grabbed a hold of you enough to go, okay, you know, and then the fact that they always, you know, talk great about Kiss. You know, Anthrax always talked great about Kiss.
Fans.
And so that kind of made it okay, too, you know, where, like, maybe he didn't get into Slayer so much. You know, back then I really didn't. But Anthrax was cool, you know?
But I know Eric Carr was a big fan of Anthrax.
Yeah.
I think he was probably a big reason why they wound up touring with Kiss, because I think it was probably his recommendation. Because I got to think Paul and Gene were probably not paying too much attention to what was going on in Thrash at that point.
No, they were too worried about trying to be Bon Jovi.
At that time, no way. Probably not.
Gene was just working on movies, and Paul was wanting to produce bands. But but that I always thought that was such a strange touring lineup, with Kiss at their most hair metal and Anthrax opening. Such a weird combination.
I wish I saw the tour. I didn't see it.
No, I didn't either, but I got to wonder what Charlie's take on opening for Kiss on that tour must have been.
Oh, yeah. Especially, like you said, at that time period, because if you think about it, it's like especially for like Frankie, Scott and Charlie, they're like such huge hardcore 70s Kiss fans. It's like, I don't know, it must have been a little weird to see them like going through that transition of where Kiss was.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I got to give, as I did in the Spreading the Disease episode, I got to give Dan Spitz credit, because such an amazing lead player on this material. And his name doesn't come up nearly enough through that era, but some of the solos he did on this album just fucking rip.
Oh, yeah. Undeniable.
Oh, it's great. Totally great. Totally great.
So,
and I don't know. I find that unfortunate. I wish, like, again, it could go back to the whole Kiss thing, or it's like, you know, a lot of Kiss fans wish Paul, Gene, Peter, and Ace could all just, like, you know, make up and dance around the streets and have a good time. It's like, I kind of feel the same way with Anthrax. I wish those guys would just, like, make up and the harsh feelings and whatever, just, like, bygones.
Yeah. Well, and there was such a chemistry with this group of guys.
Like, oh, yeah.
Because they, all the albums have such a cohesiveness to them, and there's just something to be said about that era of the band. I'm a giant fan of the Bush era of the band, but I mean this group of guys.
It's like classic era.
Yeah, the stuff they did was, it really, Anthrax totally had their own sound, especially back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
And this album is proof of that. But yeah, I remember a lot of my friends that were big into Slayer and even like black metal fucking loved Anthrax. You know, they were very well respected amongst a lot of thrash people.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And the thing is, I got into Metallica before Anthrax, and that was in 86, but then, like, once I was actually turned on to Spread the Disease, I heard AAR for the first time, and I'm like, they became, like, one of my bands. I'm like, just Joey's vocals. I'm like, I love this stuff so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Anthrax was totally my gateway drug into thrash.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah, probably a lot of people's. I was taken aback a little bit with the French version of Antisocial. That was a strange one.
What is it?
It's them singing it in French.
Really?
Yeah. What is that about?
That's classic.
Did they do that just to release it in France?
It's actually released on Nice FMEP single, and it's on there.
Panic Euphesia.
So, yeah, it's like, it was actually released like in Europe on that single. En les éclats chauds, tu deviens gênant. Dans ton désespoir, il reste un peu d'espoir. Celui de voir les gens en vague dans la radar. Essaye de faire le poids, c'est plutôt le poids. Pour se perdre, ta conduite est trop parfaite. Relève la gueule, je suis là, t'es pas seul. Ce qui t'y attend bien aujourd'hui te jugerait. You're empty, you're antisocial. You're empty, you're antisocial. You're empty.
And then the Friggin' and the Riggin' cover, that's pretty strange.
Friggin'
too.
And the Riggin' is the best. Yeah. I love that so much. That is so classic.
Yeah.
That's... I mean, I remember like being like again, like in 10th grade, and my friend Scott Lawson had the actual single for Antisocial, and it's like hearing that for the first time, I'm like, this is so great.
Well,
because it totally carries that classic, just like that classic like New York old school feel, like, I don't know, just the way they sing it, it's so awesome. I love it.
So cool that it's back on this, because I heard that years ago, like you say, when it was new and somebody had that single and thought it was so cool, but then never had my own copy of it, and then totally forgot about it all these years later till I see now it's come back up on this. Now I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Oh yeah, it's jamming. I love it.
Well, and the two that that I really go back that have a place in my heart as a young guitar player when I was listening to it was the Parasite cover, obviously, is a Kiss fan because it's amazing.
We'll be right back. Don't you think Dan Smith totally nails that solo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
It's insane.
And they had, it's funny to think how much of an influence Anthrax had on Kiss. Because when Anthrax comes out and starts playing Parasite the way they're playing it, then all of a sudden Kiss starts looking at this song differently. Then all of a sudden they're playing Watching You a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And then they're playing even She, you know, and even I Was Made for Loving You, you know, when they're playing that live. That song all of a sudden becomes heavier and faster.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
So Anthrax back then had a big influence on Kiss and helped make them heavier again.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yep. Those days, and like, if you want to say Kiss-tory, those days were awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're having so much fun today talking to Sean all about Anthrax, the big State of Euphoria 30th Anniversary Edition. How exciting it is. I mean, I can't even believe it's been 30 years already.
We're all old.
I know, man. But we still all rock, and so does Anthrax. That's very cool. We'll take a quick halftime break before we get back into it. Got to let you guys know about all the cool stuff going on, just like we always do. You know, it's the same old stuff, but it's always new and exciting to us. Of course, we got our VIPs. We are doing some cool new stuff with them. You know, we're trying out some new ideas. We're doing the Torpedo Dudes we've been telling you about, our very own Kiss podcast that's exclusive for our VIPs. What? You're not a VIP yet? It's really simple. All you got to do is go to patreon.com, look up Decibel Geek. You're going to find your different levels of commitment, you know, and none of it's expensive.
No.
You know, we keep it real cheap, but for what you get for it,
ton of content.
It's a hell of a deal because we've been doing this for years now. And so we've got all kinds of back content for you to check out. All the way back to, we used to do verses where we just take two bands and argue about it. And we like to do random CD tournaments where we'll each grab 8 to 16 CDs out of the rack.
And a lot of CDs behind
us. We got a lot of CDs to choose from. So we like to pick them at random and then make each other do, you know, mind-bending, heart-wrenching tournaments where we have to choose between our favorite CDs down to one final winner.
The last one we did was the most difficult by far.
Yeah, they were fun. We haven't done that in a minute, but we've been doing it again. So you get Torpedo Dudes, you get the Chris and Aaron Show, which we're always going to continue because we know not everybody's as big Kiss fans as we are.
No.
But we always are going to do the Chris and Aaron Show, which is just a bunch of random stuff. You know, you get those tournaments, you get us talking about the current news. If you like the New Noise episode, we do once in a while.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Basically, that's what it is. It's us talking about new stuff going on in rock. We talk about all our favorite bands. And then we talk about stuff that doesn't have nothing to do with anything. And it's really kicked back, so it ends up being pretty freaking hilarious sometimes.
Yeah, you get to know us a little bit more personally through the Patreon VIP.
It turns out we're a lot funnier than I thought we were, because when I listen back to the Patreon stuff, I laugh my ass off
it's,
the whole time.
The feedback we got from the Patreon VIPs is always good. And we would love to have more of you on there, so we're giving you a lot of value for your dollar there.
Yeah, and so we could always use your help and support, and that's our way of earning it, you know, giving you something for it. So definitely check us out on patreon.com, look up Decibel Geek, become a VIP. What else we got going on? Well, we got YouTube, we got Rock and Ron over there, he's the captain of the ship of Decibel Geek TV.
Tons of concert clips. Awesome stuff there.
You could lose yourself at Decibel Geek TV. Make a day of it. Make an afternoon, whatever. How much ever time you got, just start going video to video, because all the best bands in the world have videos on Decibel Geek TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you also got the Coon Brothers now. Rock and Ron producing his own video cast with the Coon Brothers.
Yeah.
And they get drunk and talk about rock.
Yeah, what could be better than that?
Nothing. It's great. You know, so you definitely want to check that out. I mean, we're everywhere. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, of course. That's really the main place for the conversation is Facebook, because we got Coxie taking care of our Facebook page, and he's always putting out new thought-provoking, you know, things, polls, you know, conversation pieces, things to get people talking, you know. We like to see the rock and rollers conversing with each other, because we kind of peek in on that and go, hey, that would be a cool idea for a show.
Totally.
Or this would be something fun to talk about one week on Decibel Geek, you know. So we're always looking for people and their conversations and things that are going on Facebook. That's one of our favorite places to go and get involved in that. You can get involved in it, too. I highly recommend you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to do your shopping online, go wherever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Where's the list?
Don't have a list anymore.
No list?
No list.
No list.
Yeah.
The list is gone.
Jericho's the last person with the list, apparently.
Oh, yeah. The Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah. Just go wherever you get music. Buy music. Be sure you support the artist.
Amazon broke up with us.
Yeah. It's weird.
But we go into that, you know, talking about VIP stuff, we go into all that. You know, we're going to tell the whole story about how we got dropped as Amazon affiliates, and you're not going to believe it. It's crazy, and it makes zero sense.
For a very strange reason.
Yeah, but we break it all down for our VIPs. If you're curious about that and say, what the hell happened to the list, unless you're just happy it's gone, but it's gone. No more list, no more Amazon. But here's the important thing. It doesn't really matter. Because, you know, yes, we've appreciated everybody that's bought stuff through that Amazon link that we used to have at decibelgeek.com that is no longer there. And, you know, definitely appreciate everybody that supported us with that. You know, if you want to, you want to keep supporting the show, become a VIP. But, you know, as far as that goes, it doesn't matter where you're buying your music. What's important is that you are buying your music. And so here's what I'll recommend for you, because obviously after today, you've got to be thinking, I've got to get this Anthrax State of Euphoria 30th anniversary, you know, awesome CD or album or however you take your rock and roll. Maybe just go to the actual record company website.
Or Anthrax.com.
Or go to Anthrax. Perfect. Anthrax.com. Get it directly from the band. That way you're not cutting anybody in. Decibel Geek or anyone. You know?
But the
just
band gets the
just
money.
Give the money all to the band. Go to Anthrax.com and get that. Because, I mean, again, what's this show all about? It's about celebrating rock and roll. The past, the present, and the future. You know? So our stance has always been this: support the bands that have supported you over the years. You know, the bands that make you feel good. When you listen to their music, you say, man, this is great. I hope this band never goes away. Whether it's a legendary band from the past or it's an up-and-coming band like we talked about a couple of weeks ago on Fresh Blood. You know, we support it all. Rock and roll is what it's all about, and we want to keep it alive and well. And the only way to do that is to support the bands and artists. So however you do it, wherever you buy your music, just buy the music. See them in concert, buy their t-shirts, keep rock and roll alive.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. No Amazon list, no problem, because we're just going to keep rock and roll alive no matter how we got to do it. So, again, thanks to everybody that does support us in the numerous ways that you do. And, so I guess we're going to figure out some new interesting things to do with our halftime breaks from here on out. But for today, I guess that's it. So are you ready to get back to our conversation with Sean?
Certainly.
Here's some more Anthrax for you.
Personally, the cover of Pipeline, I had a bonding moment with my father over that song because I knew it was an old song.
Right.
But when I was taking guitar lessons at the time and I wanted to learn it, and I was playing it in my room with the distortion cranked and everything, and my dad walks in and he goes, "Oh my God, that's Pipeline!" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "It's Anthrax." He's like, "That's an old song." I'm like, "Yeah, but Anthrax did a version of it," and he was just wowed by
it. Classic.
Because
it's a really fun song to play on the guitar,
and it's such a cool song to listen to the way Anthrax does it and rocks it out. I mean, that's one of my favorite things. Just like, if I had to pick, if we ever did like, you know, number one instrumentals, that might be my number one instrumental.
Yeah,
Anthrax version of Pipeline. It just chugs.
Oh, I love it. It's awesome.
great song to get speeding tickets to.
So if you, I mean, well, you're the one who worked on this thing day and night. I mean, you put a ton of hours in on this, and you've probably heard these songs inside and out a million times. What are the songs that stand out to you that mean a lot to you on this record?
Let's see. If you want to go disc A, I still say, like, just like I mentioned, Friggin' the Riggin', because I love that song. I don't know. That song means so much to me, and I just love it. Brings back great memories, and I don't know. I just love that, the crazy, raw New York vocals of that song. I love that. If you want to go to disc two, what's my favorite? And I have to say, hands down, Be All End All. Going from Statements of Euphoria to Charlie humming into a boombox to Charlie on a couch writing riffs to the rehearsal room to an alternate version of the song, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. That's like the Beatles anthology version of Anthrax.
Right.
Shoot, yeah, that's awesome.
I wish more bands would do this.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really unique thing. I can't think of anybody's ever really done it like that before, other than maybe something like the Beatles anthology.
Well, the thing is, let's put it this way. City Euphoria presented a lot more stuff to work with than Spread Disease. So that's where I had the idea. I'm like, you know, we should do like a Beatles anthology thing. And then, of course, all roads lead to Charlie Benante. So any crazy, wacky ideas I had or whatever, like, it all goes back to Charlie. So I'm like, you know, what do you think of this or what do you think of that? And he's like, oh, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let's go with this. And my first thing I submitted to Charlie was my final version of Be All End All. And he loved it. He's like, that is so cool. So that's what we went with. And that was going to be like the blueprint for this whole release.
Yeah.
And I just love it. It's like that start to finish kind of thing. It's like almost like a fly on the wall kind of thing.
Was there anything that he nixed that you wanted included?
Actually, no. Everything that I did my final submissions to, everything got approved. The only thing was I chose a tracking version of just Scott and Charlie because the double basses in it, and that song are insane.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear it just like Charlie and Scott is like, wow, this is lunacy. But Charlie wanted some more live stuff, and so here's a funny story for you guys. I actually tracked down a live version of Finally from a bootlegger who had it, and the bootlegger actually gave me a copy of the song to use for the release, didn't charge me, and it was a soundboard recording, and then we went with that. So that was cool.
Man, you know, we said it the last time we had you on here, and we talked about what you're doing for Anthrax. But again, man, it makes me so happy that you're the one doing this. Like, you're the one that's helping this become a reality because, again, you know, when it's somebody who loves it and somebody that cares and Anthrax means something to you, you put everything into it. And, you know, looking at the track listing on these albums, you bring the most out of it. And it's obviously for Anthrax fans, because what Anthrax fan is not going to go nuts for this because it's done and put together and coordinated by an Anthrax fan. And it's beautiful to me.
I totally appreciate it because it's the truth. It is the truth.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a hardcore Anthrax fan. I am so happy to be in this position doing this stuff. But I also want to bring out like the coolest package I can possibly get.
That's awesome. Have you? So
it's like persistence. Persistence is even better.
Yeah. Have you gotten feedback from Charlie and the other guys about what they think about this?
It's a weird thing because Scott just got his copies before he left for Europe to tour with Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like one of those things where I'm like, I actually asked, you know, Scott, I'm like, you know, what do you think? He's like, well, I haven't heard it yet. I'm like, oh, okay. But I know that speaking to a lot of different Anthrax fans, like a lot of people are very happy with this. And even reviews, like, I mean, ABC News Radio did a review on this thing. I've been in Guitar World magazine because of this thing.
Awesome.
It's wild. It's wild stuff.
That's great, man.
The only bad thing about all this is when I look at this and I think about all my other favorite bands from back that were releasing albums in this era, and I look at this and the only bad thing about it is, why aren't all these bands doing this? Like Skid Row and Motley Crue and Metallica and everybody should be sending all their tapes to Sean and letting him do this for them, because this is amazing.
Well, the thing is, I swear to God, it's like I'm trying to build this. I want to do more, because think about it. It's like if you're a casual fan and you hear XYZ by some band. Oh, that's fine and dandy. But it's like for the diehards, it's like it'd be so awesome to have like all these archives exposed. Yeah. Like, oh, well, you know, here's what we have in the archive. Check this out, you know, from start to finish or whatever. It's like that. This stuff is so awesome.
Yeah. So I'm saying, how cool would it be if Kiss did this? Or, you know, if Blackley Lawless, if you're out there listening, you know, send your tapes to Sean. Let him do this for these old Wasp albums, you know, and on down the line. Every one of your favorite bands. Imagine the listener out there right now, imagine your very favorite band. Now, if they were to go back and pull out the old tapes, you know, and bring out these rarities and these different mixes and all these different things and come out with what Anthrax is doing, how happy would that make you? Not to mention all the Anthrax fans.
It'd be so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so cool.
And it's like, it's one of those things where kind of like niche projects tend to do better these days. So it's not like you're not putting the Anthrax. I'm sure Anthrax isn't putting this out thinking it's going to sell hundreds of thousands of copies.
Right.
But they're putting it out to the most diehard fans that have been craving for stuff like this. But and obviously, as you know, there's a lot of us podcasters that we focus on the deep dive stuff into stuff. So this stuff is tailor made for a lot of what we do. So all the reviews I've read have been great for this thing. I don't think I've seen one negative review on this so far.
Yeah, what's not to love?
That really makes it exciting for me, because for some reason with spreading, there hasn't been like a big like a media push with this one, and it's like with this one, it's like I'm seeing my name on like all these different websites where I didn't see before, and I'm like, wow, this is really cool, man. This is really cool.
Well, hopefully it encourages them to continue to – I know they're going to do Persistence next. I like I said before we got on mic, I'm hoping they go into the Bush years with this, because I would love to hear at least a Sound of White Noise when done.
Well, like I said, I have the tapes. I've got tons of stuff.
Awesome.
Oh, man, I'm
Charlie,
so jealous.
Charlie sent me a freaking mountain load, so
– wow.
I'm so grateful for him to having the foresight to archive this stuff and actually, you know, hold it back and know that someday this is going to mean something to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I say is this. I am so totally grateful and appreciative to Charlie to let me do this stuff. I'm just an Anthrax fan from 86, my favorite of the big four. And to be where I am, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just so grateful. It's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, seriously, like, not bragging or, like, boasting, but it's just, like the humbling kind of thing. It's
right.
Like, wow, seriously?
It's like, oh, my you God, know? I found the perfect job for myself.
It's so awesome, cool. And I want to keep going.
I'm excited to hear what the Persistence one, because these two have been total home runs.
Yeah.
So as Aaron said, I certainly hope that other bands contact you and get you to do this, because I think you're on to something. And this is like the future, or like old rock archive releases. I mean, there needs to be a lot more of this.
Shoot, yeah, because that's what we crave as fans. You know, we've been buying these albums, their studio releases over the years. Take any one of our favorite bands, we've been buying these albums. Now, how cool would it be to get the stuff that you always fantasized about, like, oh, I wonder if they ever did anything more for this album. What do we say to everybody every time we do an Albums Unleashed? Were there any other songs ever recorded during these sessions? We ask it every single time, you know, because that's the stuff we crave. Was there anything else? Is there anything else that can be heard? Is there, you know, anything that can go with this? Well, with Anthrax, we're getting that.
Totally.
That's awesome. It's so awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Seriously, it's awesome. I love it. 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 One of my favorite bands on the planet, releasing rare stuff. It's awesome. It paints them in a great light.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if I can have you pass on any request to Charlie for an album to do, I want to hear one of these done for Volume 8.
We'll get there eventually,
we'll
right?
We'll see. We'll see.
That album is a total underrated gem, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. Well, Sean will get them all to us
eventually. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is I can't wait to dive into Persistence because I've got a truckload full of tapes over here.
Wow.
I mean, even like State, I've always said like, you know, like I'm like, oh, you know, State Euphoria is the best release I've ever done. I'm the most proud. But with Persistence, oh, there's a truckload of tapes. There's so much stuff. There's them
how
doing
exciting.
Jailbreak for Thin Lizzy. There's all kinds of rehearsal tapes. There's so much stuff.
Wow.
It's going to be amazing.
Well, I can't wait for that.
I'm glad we don't live in the same town because our wives would leave us and we'd lose our jobs and Desperate Geek Podcast would go down the drain. Like,
that's funny.
Where are those
that's
guys?
Funny.
Oh, they're over at Sean's house again. They won't leave him alone.
Yeah, I'll be asking you to move
but
in.
Again,
just like
I mean,
Michael.
I mean... I totally, I don't know, just totally happy, totally happy.
Well,
I never in a million
be,
years
you know?
Thought that I'd be doing this stuff, and it's really cool. It's really cool.
It's very cool, man. You should be very proud of yourself. This is amazing stuff you're doing.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing the story of it again, and we always do a playout song, so I'm going to give you the honors. What song from this 30th anniversary of State of Euphoria do you want to play out with?
I have to go with my favorite. Who Cares Wins.
All right, and that's what we'll do, and we'll see you next week.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.